What's up, everybody? This is Nick Bannock, and this is the Learn Paid Media Podcast. I'm back to my normal schedule, and so now I'm recording. It is a Tuesday to publish on a Wednesday, trying to keep things consistent here. And this episode's not going to be as long as the last one. The last one, I went pretty deep on Facebook. Of course, I started the fucking thing saying I was going to just go a little bit easy, and I was going to just talk about a couple of things, and then I started to go into more topics. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to go back through some of the other episodes that I recorded, re-listen to them, pull out some of the different concepts that I need to elaborate on, turn that into kind of a list that I can go after, and then I will start publishing episodes on some of those things, because I know I touched on a lot of different details in some of those episodes of things that really need their own complete episode. This one is going to be covering something that I don't think gets a lot of coverage in the space, and that is rolling things out. So what do I mean by rolling things out? Well, what I mean by rolling things out is when you restructure campaigns or when you launch new campaigns or when you launch new channels, there's a concept of rolling things out or building out everything and launching the entire thing. Now, it seems like it should be a trivial thing to slowly roll things out or start conservative and then get aggressive later or whatever, but it gets overlooked a lot of the time. And I wanted to cover this because I think that some of the biggest offenders of this are agencies. And I'm not trying to hate on any agencies here. I used to work at agencies. And a lot of times you have this big expectation that you're going to come in and you're going to start managing the account and you're going to basically cut off everything that had been running before and then replace it with your stuff. You don't have to throw everything out and then start everything from scratch. There's a lot of good insight that you can get from an account. And a lot of times you can add in new ad groups to existing campaigns, or you can slowly replace things if that makes sense. So there's different ways to approach it. And so I'm going to give some actual examples of things that I've done recently and things that I've done in the past. And then I'm also going to give some examples of things that I would look out for and things to avoid. So to start off, I'm going to talk about some of the things that I've done recently, just to give you some examples of what I mean by rolling things out. Recently, I was working within a Facebook account, and I found that one of the new campaigns that I was working on was just not getting enough traction. And the funny thing with this was that some of the ad sets were the exact same targeting as some of the old ad sets, and I even launched some new ads and pulled in the old ads, and I just wasn't getting impressions. And I thought it was very interesting that Facebook just was going for the ad set that had the history and biasing towards that. And so I did a couple of tests where I paused an old ad set for like an hour or two to see if it would get traction. It really wasn't getting enough traction. And I'm still doing some testing there. But one of the things that I realized pretty quickly was, well, as I restructure this account, and I am restructuring some of it, there's also ad sets that are perfectly fine and don't need to be restructured, but really just needed new ad copy. So one of those ad sets that I found in one of the campaigns that is perfectly fine to keep running just needed some new ads and some new focus because it has a lot of conversion history behind it. And if I turn that ad set off and try to replace it, it's just changing all of that history and starting it over when it's irrelevant to do so. It's a better tactic to just add in the new ads that have best practices for those and then keep using the automated bidding that's been so efficient for so long and then maybe even adjust the target CPA. So with that ad set, I'm keeping it going, putting my new ads in there that I asked the client to work on for me, and then I'm building some new audiences and new ad sets that are entirely new territory. I'm also doing some restructuring of things that just really need to be restructured and consolidated because there's just not enough conversion data per ad set. So there's a little bit of restructuring happening, a little bit of rollout happening, and then a little bit of working with what we have. And what that'll do is it will get us the most balanced approach to get us the best results rather than turning everything off, turning on some entirely new account that I don't know how it's going to do, you know, telling the client that I'm just going to have kind of shitty performance for a month while it figures things out, and then hopefully it works out. Like, that's just not a good approach. Why would you do that? You're taking on too much risk, and there's really no reason for it. I think that I'll go back to what I said earlier. A lot of agencies are offenders of this because there's an expectation that an agency is going to come in and they're going to put their mark on it. They're going to really redo this whole thing because they have some unique approach that they sell of how they do things. But the reality is you're getting paid to get results for your clients. If you're in-house, you're same thing, getting paid to get results for the business. And so getting results that are better than the previous results, hitting the KPIs, sometimes this means that you need to roll things out slowly. Even if an account is structured poorly, sometimes there's some things that you can still keep from the old account. Now, of course, there's times where you come into an account and the whole thing is just fucked and you just have to like scrap it. And that can happen, but it's less and less common these days in accounts that I come across. Maybe that's really common in like small business accounts or something like that, where somebody just like put in money to AdWords or money to Facebook and launched something without really knowing a whole lot of what they were working on. That I'm sure that there's cases, a lot of cases of that, but it's not very common in accounts that I come across anymore. So anyway, I'll talk about some other examples. So I recently went into an account and I was doing work in the shopping campaigns. And instead of creating new shopping campaigns, I just added new ad groups to the existing shopping campaigns and added new product group subdivisions, and that was enough. And then I adjusted bids, and then I worked with the client on their product feed. So we still kept their original campaigns, but we just added some new things to them and worked to optimize them, and that was great. Some other examples, I have a campaign that has a really good structure in an account that I took over. This one campaign that had a structure that I really liked, it was working really well. So instead of turning the whole thing off, same thing. I went in and started to write new ad copy for it and look for opportunities to add negative keywords. And that was all that needed to happen for that campaign. It needed new ad copy because it was still running the old text ad format, the original expanded text ads. It wasn't running the ones with the three headlines in Google or the two descriptions. It was running the original expanded text ads, which were just two headlines and a shorter description setup, which was not really the best thing to go after because we were just losing out to some of our competitors on our search engine real estate. So went after that one, and that is something that is in progress now and will actually go live soon. But the shopping campaign was already done, and that has worked out really well. Here are some more examples. I came into some accounts that were already running display retargeting on Google. And in those display retargeting campaigns, I didn't really love the setup. I didn't love the ad copy, but there was a few ad groups that were working really well. So in those cases, what I did was I created some new ads in some of those accounts that were running that, where just needed to have new ad copy because it was running like the old style banners or the old HTML5 Google ads, not the responsive formats. So I went in and worked on those and created some new ads. And then I also created some new audiences and added those audiences to new ad groups that would be a little bit more segmented. But I didn't remove the ad groups that were working well. I just made them better. And that is a practice that I take a lot of the time with display retargeting, because there's no reason to come into an account and let's say the person's targeting all visitors 30 days and it's working really well. There's no reason to come in and turn off that ad group to replace it with another all visitors 30 days ad group. It just doesn't make any sense to do that. You're better off just working within the ad group that's already been running for a long time, especially if they're running target ROAS or target CPA or something like that. So that's another one. And that carries over to Facebook as well. You'll see that sometimes with Facebook retargeting, or sometimes I'll come into Facebook and I'll see that they're targeting some lookalike audiences that are really good and they're working really well in the account, but maybe the ad copy is just pretty stale. It's not up to best practices. Maybe they're still running the ads that are in the rectangle format, so it just looks awkward on the Facebook mobile news feed and Instagram feed because it shrinks up the image and you need to get square images. So sometimes you could just come in and you can make those changes as well, and it can go a long way. Sometimes it might make sense to work on who the ad copy is speaking to, and maybe there's just a whole different creative direction that you need to take it with Facebook, but you can still go after the same audiences and targeting options. It's just that your ads need to speak to them better. There's a lot of different things there. Now, with Google and Bing search, this is where I see a lot of this. Everyone has a different idea of how they should be structuring search campaigns and all that, but even if you are restructuring a search campaign, you can go into an existing campaign that's working well and has ad groups that are working well, and you could just start adding your new structure into that campaign if it's relevant to do so. So maybe you have keyword A, and there's a bunch of variations around keyword A that you want to build out, but the existing campaign just has like one or two ad groups that feature keyword A and like a couple of variants, and they're working out. Well, you can launch your new variants in that same campaign as new ad groups, and then you could slowly start replacing some of that impression share with the more relevant ones. And then eventually, maybe it does make sense to pause that ad group eventually. Maybe it does. But maybe it doesn't. Maybe you keep running it, and then you run your new ones too. There's a lot of different ways to take it there. Now, that is just part of working with what you have and not throwing out good performance, but rather making things better and then improving from there, and then coming up with new ideas. And of course, you have to come up with new ideas and build out new campaigns and test new channels and things like that. Of course, you have to do that. So don't get me wrong. That is definitely part of the process. What I also like to talk about is the rolling restructure. The rolling restructure or rolling structure or rollout of campaigns. This is an important thing. Sometimes you'll come into accounts that are turned off, or they've never advertised before, or they're running a bunch of campaigns that are all over the place, and you know that you're going to have to restructure them. So in any of these scenarios, whether it's building new things, the historical performance is so old and outdated that you have to build new things anyway, or you have to restructure a lot of things, it's still best practice to roll things out. You don't want to come into an account where the client says, okay, your budget for this month is $150,000. And so you come in, you build out a bunch of campaigns that you don't know how they're going to do. You turn them on in 3 days after building them or whatever. And then you pretty quickly start spending whatever it is, $6,000 a day, $5,000 a day, whatever it is, but depending on what part of the month you're in, to hit that $150K budget. It's just not going to be a good thing to do. Like, you don't know what's going to happen with that $5,000 or $6,000. You don't want to burn $5,000 or $6,000 in bad performance while you're trying to learn what negative keywords you need to add to the account and shit like that. It's just not a good thing to do. Just advise your client, advise your boss, if you're in-house, whatever it is, that you would rather take that $150,000 budget for the month. You'd rather build out a few campaigns and maybe spend $1,000 a day on those for a couple of days, then launch new ones and maybe increase the budget to $2,000 and then $3,000 and roll it out. And then maybe you'd like to roll over some of that $150K budget into the next month when you can throttle things, because at this point you've efficiently scaled up. You've measured, you've optimized, and you're getting a lot of good performance out of those campaigns. You're hitting your CPA targets, you're slowly increasing, you're launching new campaigns. That is where you want to focus. You want to roll things out. And this gives you a good way of benchmarking and learning from your structure before you build everything and then have to scrap things. Because that's another thing. You might launch a campaign with a structure that you think makes the most sense, and it might not work. So if you build a whole account like that, that would really suck, because then you're scrapping all of that work and having to start over. And I know that a lot of the times I've seen this happen with people that I've managed in the past. If they put in a bunch of hours into building something out, they're going to try to hold on to it and not scrap it fast enough. And that's just not going to work either. Like, you need to make quick moves as you get your learnings. So here's an example of how you can approach this. Let's say you're an e-commerce client. Go into your account and let's say that you're starting new. Build out a shopping campaign, build out some retargeting, and then maybe build out non-brand search for your top selling product category or product line with just like a few keywords. I'm talking like maybe 10 keywords, 15 keywords, whatever it is. Don't go overboard. Don't try to build out 6,000 keywords and launch it on day one. It's just not worth it. Build out a few. Your shopping campaign is going to give you a lot of insight into how you're going to do and what search terms you're matching to anyway. So that's going to help out a lot. Now, after you do that, you can then move into taking that shopping campaign and the learnings and starting to build out some non-brand search campaigns. You can also figure out what keywords you're going to need to add as negatives. Following this, you can then start to come up with a plan of what other non-brand search campaigns you're going to build out. Also, by this point, after running for maybe a week or two, you might already be thinking about how you need to optimize your feed to get better results. Maybe there's some SKU that's really screwing you over and taking up 30% of your budget, and it's a product that's only costs $15 and you sell products for $400 and you got this product that costs $15 spending all your money. not generating enough conversions and a good return. That's a way that you can start to optimize. You can filter that down. You can maybe build a custom label that's products under $20, bid that down lower. There's a lot of different ways that you can approach it, but there's a lot of things you have to learn when you launch these new campaigns. If you try to launch 30 campaigns all at once, it's going to be very difficult to make those optimizations. That's one example. That's an e-commerce example. Let's look at maybe a lead generation example next. So let's say you're a B2B SaaS company and you get a lot of business through referrals. You know that a lot of your people are hanging out on Twitter, or maybe they're hanging out on LinkedIn. So there's some different places there where you might have some room. Well, maybe it makes sense to start with retargeting on those channels. So you launch some Twitter retargeting, some LinkedIn retargeting, maybe you launch some Google retargeting, and you start to see what you can get for people that have already visited your site, because maybe you're getting a lot of traffic already. And then at the same time, you're launching some non-brand search on some long tail keywords. So let's say you have that $150,000 a month budget. Well, maybe you allocate like 5K to LinkedIn, 5K to Twitter, 5K to Google retargeting. Really start small. And then maybe you start off with just like $1,000 a day in some non-brand search. And then you start to get your learnings there, and then you scale up from there. Maybe you start to build out brand as needed based on who's bidding on your brand. Maybe you just build out what I always call brand plus, which I've talked about before, but that is your brand plus keywords in your industry. So maybe you are a company that's in the fintech space and you want to bid on whatever, your brand plus the word financial software or something like that. So brand A, financial software. You bid on that term, but you don't just bid on brand A, because if you do that, you're just spending money for no reason. However, B2B can get a little aggressive, and a lot of times there's competitors bidding on your brand straight up, so you might need it. I've seen that a lot. So of course, if people are bidding on your brand, you'll build that out and all that. Just remember that you can also segment it. So you can say, okay, we know that we're gonna build out competitors, brand. We're going to build out non-brand to cover these 10 business units, and we're going to do these other channels for prospecting and retargeting. So you know that you're going to have all these different things down the line. Well, you can always start off with a small launch on more than one of those things at a time, just to keep a closer eye on it, because you know that you might need a certain amount of click data before you can know for sure if you have statistical significance on your conversions. So what you might do then is launch a little bit of budget in retargeting and prospecting and a few different of your non-brand business units. And then you're creating more, but you're still not scaling up to that full budget potential. You're still tiering it out and increasing over time based on results. Really, that's all I wanted to cover here. I wanted to talk about the importance of rolling restructures and understanding that you can also work with what you have, and you can sometimes make optimizations within an account that you're already running while still building new things and while still scaling up and while still expanding. You don't have to come in, turn everything off, and replace everything. That tactic is just, it's just not really that relevant anymore. It used to be more relevant when you could control your quality score better in Google, or when Facebook was a piece of shit platform to advertise on and it really sucked and you wanted to scrap shit anyway because it didn't really matter and their algorithms were garbage. Like, it's not like that anymore. Now, that conversion history is super important. Having conversion history in an ad set is awesome, and it can really drive success. So you don't want to scrap that, because a lot of the automated bidding works so much better than it used to. And when you scrap all of that, you're just starting over and getting rid of all that progress and testing that has happened before. All that money that's been spent is just going to waste. So just don't do that. Start off with small wins in the account as you start making these optimizations, making changes, making tweaks, adjusting budgets, whatever you're doing. Start off making tweaks in the existing account structures, get better results that way, and then start to build out new things so you can have larger wins, rather than come in, turn a bunch of shit off, take potential large losses, and then maybe you still get the large wins later, but you would have got those anyway if you had just started with small wins. Just cut out that chance of taking that loss. There's no reason to put that risk on the table. You already have an account that you can see how it's running. Don't ever make it worse. Don't come in and make an account worse. Just don't do it. I don't know how else to say it. Just don't do it. Don't come in and make an account worse. That's all I got for you today. As I mentioned earlier, I'm going to be going through the old episodes and coming up with some lists of the topics to cover next. I keep saying that I'm going to talk about Pinterest ads, so I probably should come up with an episode on that pretty soon. I've got some pretty cool tests that I'm running right now on Pinterest ads, and it's very promising. So I will come back with that as one of the topics that I discuss, and then I'll go through some of the others as well. In the meantime, please leave me a positive review if you haven't done so already and refer some people to the podcast. I'm back onto my regular schedule, posting every week now, and I'm going to be recording a couple of extra episodes as a buffer in case I have to take time off again so that there will still be weekly releases coming out. Got to learn from that mistake. I shouldn't have done that. But anyway, I'm all settled in my house now, and it's great to be back in Portland, Oregon. If any of you are coming through the Portland, Oregon area, let me know. We can try to meet up. All right, till the next time. Take care, everyone.